We also bring you greetings in the name of Jesus Christ. Appreciated the thoughts shared this morning by Brother Robert on the church. Don't think I sometimes realize how important the church is to me in my life, the body of Christ. For the message, the title is An Even Balance. I'd like to turn to Job. Job chapter 31. Job chapter 31. He says here in verse 6, "Let me be weighed in an even balance, that God may know mine integrity." When you think about balance, balance is something that's very important to us in life. I don't think we realize how important it is in almost all aspects of our life. And we had in Sunday school class about we heard about the promise that was given way back, and then when that promise was fulfilled and it was discussed about how was life back there before the promise, which was Jesus Christ, came, before that promise came. How was life back there? And was thinking about the board here where it says, "Faith is a living power from heaven which grasps the promise God has given." And I think it's plain in Hebrews that the promise, when it was given, the balance there was faith. Because doesn't it allude to the fact that those people like Abraham and all those people who died back there for their faith, or for their what they believed in, was their faith kept the balance with that and the promise that was given. If they would have just been given the promise with nothing else, they could have left very, felt unfulfilled. But because of the faith that God gave and brought in, it helped to balance that all out. And because of the faith they had, they could receive the promise just as much as we can receive it today. So what is it today that we have in our life that brings balance? Even in Romans, I think it is, it says, "The just shall live by faith." So we also need faith today when we have sinned and we have a heavy conscience. There's a heavy weight on us. How is it taken off? It's taken off by Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus Christ that saves us. And then we can continue with a lighter step. We can continue our walk of life and feel free. And we can feel balanced, because Jesus Christ, for what he does for us, takes that weight off, and we can walk on straight and balanced. It's easier for me to carry 2 5-gallon buckets of something than it is just one. When you have just one and there's a weight on one side, it doesn't feel right. Sometimes a chiropractor has to fix it. And in our marriages, how much easier is marriage when your partner has the other, you know, when you're carrying a heavy bucket. Here some time ago, we were picking sweet corn and it was a full bucket. And some of y'all know how my back had been making me problems already and spent thousands of dollars to fix it. And I don't much want to do it again. Depending what I pick up, you know, too much, well, I have to be careful. But was carrying this full bucket of sweet corn, and then somebody else came and grabbed the other handle and balanced it out. It was so much easier. And thinking about that, you know, when a husband and wife pull together with the weight that comes with marriage, Doesn't it make it so much easier? It really does. It brings balance. It's so important for balance to be in a marriage, and even balance. Another thing I had to think of is where the Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And I don't think I realize sometimes how important that is. You know, when you have wisdom, you can have a man that has lots of wisdom, but if the fear of God is not there, it's unbalanced. And it's hard even for people to accept that wisdom. But when you have the fear of God coupled with wisdom, it makes for a balanced life. It's something that's very important. Young people, especially when you go through life, you know, you might receive a lot of schooling and have a lot of knowledge. And, you know, we have these smartphones and we can figure out so quickly and easily how to use them. But if the fear of God is absent, you're in trouble. In Job 31, in verse 1, he says, I made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? And I think here it's talking about the lust of the flesh. But it's important that we make a covenant with our eyes, a covenant with our mind, a covenant with our body. For what portion of God is there from above, and what inheritance of the Almighty from on high? When we think about the lust of the flesh, it's saying that if we live after the lust of the flesh, you have no portion with God. You have no inheritance with the Almighty. Is not destruction to the wicked and a strange punishment to the workers of iniquity? We know what can happen when we have people that walk after those things, after the lust of the flesh. Doth not he see my ways and count all my steps? Yes, God in heaven sees everything we do. He sees all the things we see and look at, and all our steps and all the places we go. It is all open to him. In verse 5, if I have walked with vanity, or if my foot hath hasted to deceit, let me be weighed in an even balance, that God may know mine integrity, so that God can know everything about me. If my step hath turned out of the way, and mine heart walked after mine eyes, and if any blot hath cleaved to mine hands, then let me sow and let another eat. Yea, let my offspring be rooted out. He's saying that if my step has turned away from God, if I have taken mine own way, then let me not have the good of the land. Let life be unfair to me. Let things be unfair. If I do that, then let my life be unbalanced. If mine heart have been deceived by a woman, or if I have laid wait at my neighbor's door, then let my wife grind unto another, let others bow down upon her. For this is an heinous crime. Yea, it is an iniquity to be punished by the judges. For it is a fire that consumeth to destruction and would root out all mine increase. Even in the things that you do, and I've seen this formerly in life, when there's people who would be going after women or going after the lust of the flesh, how even when they had come up to a point where they were really blessed and had a lot of increase, that those things just disappeared and wasted away. And Job is a person that, if you consider the whole book of Job, my Uncle Norman used to talk a lot about the book of Job. He felt that it was one of the most interesting books in the Bible. And when you look at Job, the wisdom that is in this book, he talks about the universe and how things work. And he talks about death. You know, where is a man? A man that comes from a woman is born of a woman is full of trouble. He talks of many, many different things in life. And the wisdom thereof is just, it is really something. The book of Job is very interesting. He says here then, If I did despise the cause of my maidservant or of my manservant or my maidservant when they contended with me, what then shall I do when God rises up and when he visits, and what shall I answer him? If you have, in other words, a man that is working for you or a maid that is working for you and they have a concern and they bring it to you and you just discount it, what are we going to do when God rises up and says, wait a minute? You'd better look at that. In other words, we are not the final judge. God is looking behind us on everything we do and everything we say and in the way that we relate to people or to those who are under us. What then shall I do when God rises up? Because there are times that God rises up and says, wait a minute, you'd better think again. Did not he that made me in the womb make him? And did not one fashion us in the womb? In this sense, we are all together and we are all equal. Even though you may have servants and you have children, mark it down that God is looking to see how you relate to them. And we know what can happen to children when parents relate to them in an unbalanced way and the children become unbalanced. If I have withheld the poor from their desire, or have caused the eyes of the widow to fail. In every verse that I'm reading here, it seems to me like it's crying for balance. It's crying for an even balance. Or have eaten my morsel myself alone, and the fatherless hath not eaten thereof. If we have sit down and we have ate and filled our tummy with food, and somebody else was hungry and we didn't care. Any uneven balance. For from my youth he was brought up with me as with a father, and I have guided her from my mother's womb. If I have seen any perish for want of clothing, or any poor without covering, if his loins have not blessed me, and if he were not warm with the fleece of my sheep. I had the ability to clothe someone and did not, just left him naked and left. Maybe not so much about clothes, but just about needs, any kind of need they might have. If I have lifted up my hand against the fatherless when I saw my help in the gate, then let mine arm fall from my shoulder blade and mine arm be broken from the bone. How balanced is that? How could you walk with an arm that fell off your shoulder blade or with a broken arm? It would incapacitate you. You can't do anything. A very uneven balance. For destruction from God was a terror to me, and by reason of his highness I could not endure. If I have made gold my hope, or have said to the fine gold, thou art my confidence. We think of the rich man who said, you know, I'm going to tear down my barns and build bigger because of a bountiful harvest. And that night his soul was required from him. He became very unbalanced. He did not thank God. We have to think also of Belteshazzar. When he made a feast for 1,000 of his lords. And that was a thing where they were drinking and eating and having a wonderful good party. And It was just totally the lust of the flesh. And it was to the point where in his, you know, they drank wine and he said, go into the temple, like go into the house of God and get the sacred things out of there and bring them over here and let us eat and drink out of those holy vessels. Like desecrating something that was holy. And that's when God's hand came down and wrote on the wall. And it said there, meeni, meeni, tekel, upharsin. And to interpret that meeni means your days are numbered. Because of you desecrating the holy things. And even though you knew that your father Nebuchadnezzar had to go out and eat grass like the cattle of the field, because he did not humble himself, because pride was in his life, because he did that, and you knew what happened to him, but you did not care. You did not even take note of what happened to your father. And you just went on and you lived your life just like you didn't care. Your days are numbered. I'm going to bring your days to an end. You're going to die. Tikal means you are weighed and found wanting. You have been weighed, you've been put on a scale, and you're light. Eupharson means simply what has been given to you is now going to be given to someone else. And isn't that so true in our life when we just live for self? God says your days are numbered. In other words, your end is coming. We don't know. For this man, it was that night. But for us, we don't know. It could be any time. But we have to remember that when we're living for ourselves, your days are numbered. The minutes, the seconds that you're going to live, that's all numbered, and God knows that. And it's something we must live with. And you know what it helps to do? It helps to bring an even balance to your life. So Meni, your days are numbered. Tico, you are weighed and found wanting. God put you in his scale. And he sees your spiritual life. He sees the things that you're still needing and you don't have. Eupharson, what you have is given to someone else, and how true that is. You know, when your days are numbered and that time comes and you're gone, everything you have is given to someone else. Everything. Your clothes, your shoes, your money, your house, your land, everything you have. Now my mom is lying out there. The girls come together. All the things that she has is being divided out. She didn't take anything with her. But the things that you have is all given to someone else. That is what God told Belteshazzar. And it says that very night, in that night was Belshazzar the king of the Chaldeans slain, and Darius the Median took the kingdom. That is what happened to him. And I don't know of anything that we can do that is more egregious or more abhorrent to God is when we have a lifted up pride and we think that we don't need God, and we even the things that are holy, we desecrate them. A very, very uneven balance that is. We talked about balance in our marriage. You know, balance in our views. Isn't it so important? There's just all aspects of our lives where balance is so important. Suppose someone would tell you that your views are unbalanced. What would you do? What do you look at? It would be helpful if he would tell you or she would tell you where you are unbalanced. Maybe there's a certain thing you put a lot of weight on. And then there's something else over here that you esteem very lightly, and it doesn't make sense to people. It's inconsistent. Or the example that you're setting. Maybe there's something you see in someone else that, oh, that, you know, you that would be such a big concern to you, but at the same time, you've done something in your life, something you've said, somewhere you've gone, or some place you've been, or something you did that just doesn't come out. An uneven balance. In the examples we set, in the things that we do, in our temperament, maybe there's something that would greatly upset you, and it's really, to someone else, it's really a, well, why does that make you so angry? You know, when you're unbalanced in the things you're angry about. Here's some time ago, It came from someone, or there was some prayer that said that if there's anything that he would like to have in life that he thinks is valuable, is to love the things that God loves and to hate the things that God hates. If you could fully achieve that, it would deal with so many things in life. But that's where balance is. Love the things that God loves and hate the things that God hates. In our worship, we need a balance. We can't stay here every day of the week and all the time. We can't stay here. We got to go out and make a living. So we can't just, you know, but we, even though we're out there making a living, we can take worship with us. We take worship with us wherever we go. Have you thought about that? You take worship with you wherever you go. If you worship your money, or if you worship your farm, or if you worship your business, or you worship God, you take worship with you wherever you go. It never leaves you. Worship is with you all the time. So you're the one that makes the choice. Do you have an even balance in your worship? Do you take God with you all the time? Or do you leave God here and then you go home and make a living and you're after those things, and then you come back in here and you worship God and you think that this is acceptable to God? You take God with you all the time. And even balance in thankfulness. Are there times you're not thankful? The Bible says to be thankful all the time. That brings an even balance to a lot of things that come into your life. Thankfulness, your prayer life. Are there times that you pray, and are there times that you have your devotions and you do them so quickly because you've got an appointment to make and then you leave, and you don't think about your devotion for the rest of the day? An uneven balance. Sure, there are times, depending what the situation is, that you have more time for devotions than other times. But you know, things tend to leave a track record. Things tend to become a habit. What are those habits? The giving of money. You know, we need a balance to the things that we devote money to. Maybe, you know, formerly, there were times that I bought, there was one time I bought a brand new truck, a brand new pickup. And I can say right now that that is the best pickup that I have ever owned out of a half a dozen or so. It really did me well until it was wrecked, and now I don't have it anymore. But it was a new pickup. But since then, you know, in thinking about new vehicles, it just, I don't know if I'll ever buy a brand new vehicle again. But because right now, it just doesn't look to me like it ever pays to get a brand new vehicle. It just seems to me that it devalues so fast when you use it for a little length of time, devalues so fast that it's. I question if it's worth it. There's too many times, if we can ask advice from Henry or someone like that that knows their vehicles, you can buy a good solid vehicle for thousands of dollars cheaper. And that would be a better balance than buying something that is brand new just for the sake of having something new, or thinking that you always want to just have it under warranty and so on. You make the decision, you decide, but let's go for an even balance as much as we can. The clothes we wear, you know, I don't go to my business with my Sunday best, but I like to bring my Sunday best here. But we need a proper balance in the clothes that we wear, a proper balance in the things we do to our dresses or do to our clothes we say sometimes we want to just fill them out, or we want it to look finished, or we want it to look right, you know. But don't we need an even balance? And above all, think of God and what would please God. The things we look at, are we balanced with the things that we look at, the things that interest us? Do we have balance in the tractors we use? I've already seen, you know, a big tractor with duals on it and a cab and air conditioning and all that, with a little 3-point whirligig in the back sowing seed, you know. You know, because we want comfort. And there are times that that's okay, likely because of being cold or something. But You know, are there times that our comfort is so important to us that it becomes unbalanced? Our comfort. You know, how many times, and I ask myself this question, and maybe I'm not fit to say this because I'm older and my wife is not as able as she used to be, but how about when there is a church gathering and you like to drive to the closest place where you have to take the least amount of steps, when maybe those same steps are painful for someone else? Is it in Peter or James where he talks about the best seats, you know, the best places? And I remember when I was a young boy that my dad one time ordered me off of an easy chair because of somebody else that was coming. It taught me something. So, you know, when you invite company and your own children are sitting on the best chairs and the company arrives, do you teach your children an even balance? That's important. That's important. And when you teach your children those things, it makes an impression on them, and they know. They get to the point where they know that there is value in that teaching. There are now that our children, when we have reunions, our children mention things that Dorothy has taught them and that I have taught them, and things that I didn't know that I taught those things, but now they're saying they appreciate them. And not that we did our teaching all right, but I'd like to encourage you parents now that when your children are smaller, do teach them a balanced life, a balanced view of how you look at things. A balanced diet in eating is very important. How would you like to raise your children on nothing but ice cream and cake? Or on nothing but, you know, you don't eat just nothing but salad. You know, you eat a balance of things for health and nutrition. Well, same way with the spiritual life. We need a balance in the diet that we have. We mentioned about our comfort, about our vacations. You know, how important are the vacations that we take? And when we take vacations, how extravagant are we? Maybe there's somebody back there that we're owing money and we can't pay it. And we like to go to the Smokies, or we like to go to some vacation and do some things or take some trips. And you're doing it at your brother's expense that you owe money to. Is that a balance? An even balance? I would say it is not. For time's sake, I think I'll go to Isaiah 40. There's some I'd like to read there. And I'd like to bring our attention now, more than anything, to having a balanced view of God. Something that I think is so important in our life, in our everyday living, is a balanced view of God, of who God really is. He says in Isaiah 40, comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her. If we could interpret Jerusalem here as meaning the church in our day today, that her welfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins, the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. How much of a balance is this where God is saying, I'm going to bring balance to your surroundings. I'm going to bring balance to the church. I'm going to bring balance to the place where you dwell. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. And the voice said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass. All the godliness thereof is as the flower of the field, looking at who we really are. Man is as grass. fadeth away as a vapor. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. That is an even balance when we look at the word of God, that it will stand forever. Nothing will ever change in the word of God. Verse 10, behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand. His arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, and meted out heaven with a span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance? Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor hath taught him? With whom took he counsel, and who instructed him and taught him in the path of judgment, and taught him knowledge, and showed to him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket, and are counted as a small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the owls as a very little thing. And Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beasts thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. All nations before him are as nothing, and they are counted to him less than nothing and vanity. To whom then will ye liken God, or what likeness will ye compare unto him? The workman melteth a graven image, and the goldsmith spreadeth it over with gold, and casteth silver change. He that is so impoverished that he hath no oblation chooseth a tree that will not rot. He seeketh unto him a cunning workman to prepare a graven image that shall not be moved. Have ye not known? Have ye not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have ye not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in. That bringeth the princes to nothing, he maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. Yea, there shall not be planted, yea, they shall not be sown, yea, their stock shall not take root in the earth, and he shall also blow upon them, and they shall wither, and whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. Things that we can do here that we put a lot of stock in, God can take them away so easily. It is as nothing to him. To whom then will ye liken me? Or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things that bringeth out their host by number? He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from God? Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. That is who our God is. And lastly, just to say that if you have a problem in your life, if there is any uneven balance there, there is nothing that will balance it out as a close relationship with Jesus Christ, having the indwelling of the Spirit to guide and direct you. The fear of the Lord and wisdom in your heart is going to take you through to Jesus Christ, where he can take your heart and melt it and make it to something that he can smile about. And whatever you face in life, whatever troubles in life will come, it's going to be okay. And there will be an even balance that is pleasing to God. Let's kneel to pray.